It's the Rona Roundtable here on the home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. Middle of July for us, though, here at TSN 1290, Winnipeg Gold Eyes. Christmas in July, Thursday, this coming Thursday, between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m., swing by the ballpark with a new unwrapped toy or a cash donation as we kick off the 2013 Toy Mountain campaign in support of Salvation Army and Christmas Cheer Board. Bring a group of friends, some colleagues, stop by for some food, a hot dog or two, the lunch break. Every donation entered to win great prizes. The first 1,000 fans through the gates receive the Gold Eyes Fleece Pack, courtesy of Manitoba Hydro, and the game will be full of Christmas-themed activities. Perfect for the whole family. See Santa, his parade, the floats, the holiday characters, everything. Keep it locked to TSN 1290 all week long for your chance to win tickets to this game. Consider it a Merry Christmas from TSN 1290. Kiss in the background, and one of the gentlemen, I'll use that lightly, with a lowercase letter, G, in attendance last night from the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Richard Pollock. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Rick. How are you?
I'm well. You were at the Kiss concert last night.
I was at the Kiss concert last night. It may have taken place in 1975. I'm not quite sure.
A little bit of a flashback for you.
A little bit of a flashback. My hearing isn't repaired yet. The sound there was so loud. But
that is one of their tunes, isn't it?
they had some new tunes that they dropped in the middle of the set. I don't think anybody knew any of the songs.
Well, that's, you know, that happens with bands that have been around for a while. I had tried to be in two places at one last night. I had to choose between Kim Mitchell and Kiss, and I ended up, because my girlfriend has worked with Kim Mitchell in the past. We had to, I didn't say we have to, we opted to go that route. But
and how was that?
That was fine. I have my hearing today. Look, why are these big three, do you think, as they are so referred to by many, the restricted free agents for the Winnipeg Jets, and that being Zach Bogosian, Blake Wheeler, and Brian Little, still on the unsigned list with arbitration dates reared around the corner next week? Are you a little surprised that it's the guys like Tangredi and Postma that have been up first and not the other big three, as people are calling them?
Not shocked that those guys are up first, Rick, just because I think those guys are fairly easy, and you know, relatively speaking, to get done because they don't have too much leverage, and the Jets know that. I mean, they can go to arbitration, and the Jets, granted, the Jets couldn't have walked away from any ruling, but I mean, those guys want one-way deals, right? So that's the key for them, and 2 years on one-way deals for them is golden. For these other players, you know, Bogosian, Little, and Wheeler, they have a ton of leverage. So I'm a little bit surprised that none of them have signed. I think that Wheeler probably has the most leverage of the bunch. But, I mean, Little's hearing is scheduled for next Wednesday, and their arguments, I mean, their briefs have to be submitted by Monday. So unless it's an action-packed weekend, Little will at least have, the sides will at least have exchanged their briefs, and we'll be pretty, you know, closing in on some serious argument.
I've been wondering if the Jets aren't willing to go, or say are willing to go to arbitration with a guy like Brian Little, or even a Blake Wheeler. I'd be shocked if they go to arbitration with Bogosian.
It's interesting. You know, I'm with you in terms of Little, because I think the Jets have a pretty good argument for Little. But, you know, if you think back to Brandon Morrison with the Canucks, I think the Jets would use a very similar argument with Little. You know, Morrison relied on Bertuzzi and Naslund. They'd say Little probably relies on Ladd and Wheeler. But it did tarnish that relationship. And the Jets don't have a ton of depth up the middle, so they would be taking some risk in that regard. In terms of Wheeler, I don't think the Jets have a great argument for Wheeler, because his stats, you know, in terms of right wingers, are pretty impressive over the past couple seasons, especially when he's got top, you know, top ice time. So I don't, if the Jets go to arbitration with Wheeler, they'd be locked into a 1 year deal, because there couldn't be a 2 year deal based on the arbitration rules. And Wheeler would be heading into his UFA season, probably making pretty good money anyways. And he'd have all the leverage over the Jets, and he could say, hey, I'll hit the open market. So I'm a little bit surprised that that one is, at least from the Jets' perspective, taken that long.
I look at, and according to CapGeek, the amount of money that remains there, and there is, let's say, more than enough to re-sign these three that I would think, from what we've looked at fair market value. Do we get a sense then that the Winnipeg Jets may be trying to get some sort of hometown discount, if you will, with regards to these restricted free agents? And I mean, it would be a good business move. Some would look at it as a negative business move, but bottom line, it is business. And could that be what it is? I mean, we're pretty well guessing, I guess, at this point, yeah, as to why these three haven't been signed.
Yeah, I mean, it's very possible that they're trying to do that, or they're trying to extend, you know, some of these parties are now, you know, both sides really, agents and teams are trying to extend term and give a little bit less of a cap hit to make it more feasible. But for all we know, Rick, the cap will be up to $90 million in 3 years, and the cap hit won't be, you know, it'll be relevant, but maybe not as relevant as it is under $64.3 million cap. But I guess the other question is maybe is, you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff, and we don't have a ton of experience with regards to his negotiating long-term deals. I mean, we have Kane and Ladd. Those are the two guys, but maybe he doesn't have time to experience negotiating as the main man with these agents. Because, you know, with Wheeler last time, he gave him a two-year bridge deal. Little was signed under the previous administration, and Bogosian, he gave a bridge deal too. And it kind of seemed at that time that it was the Wheeler and Bogosian bridge deals made sense for both sides, but now they could not be on the same page. And I wonder, you know, how that communication is going.
Richard Pollock of the Legal Curve Hockey Show joining us here on TSN 1290, just touching on the Winnipeg Jets restricted free agents that remain unsigned, and that is the big three of Wheeler, Little, and Bogosian. Zach Bogosian, to me, is a curious case as well, and I wonder about the comparison, and you can't compare the two, but here's Toby Enstrom for the Winnipeg Jets, who, was it last year, got the big contract from the Jets, and at, you know, according to CapGeek, again, about $5.75 a year. And I don't know if Bogosian's agent looks at that and says, well, you know, if you've got him pegged at that and Buff's pulling in 5.2, why isn't my guy, you know, a 5.5 or even higher? And maybe the Jets are looking at maybe he's a 4.5 kind of guy.
Good point. And I think, you know, if you look at Bogosian and Enstrom, the one difference is that Bogosian has an extra RFA year on the books there. So the Jets could argue, you know, you shouldn't make as much as Enstrom because we paid Enstrom, if we give you 5 years, we paid Enstrom based on 4 UFA years. I think another thing to take into account, though, Rick, is the relationships, and I think those are really important. Kevin Cheveldayoff, you know, Mark Chipman, whoever was part of the negotiations, Tobias Enstrom was represented by Don Baisley, you know, the late Don Baisley, who has a very good relationship with the Winnipeg Jets. So you have to wonder if maybe that relationship helped them get to a quick resolution, whereas in this case, it's a little bit of a different relationship.
Yeah, that's not a bad point. I hadn't thought of it that way, and you know, you're dealing with different agents, different tactics, I guess, could you say.
Mm-hmm.
But with regards, you mentioned relationships as well. Bogosian's got a great relationship with the city. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the team, obviously they view him. I got the impression that with the lockout that we went through last year, that the Winnipeg Jets' big concern was that second contract, per se. I know this will be Bogosian's third. Second after the entry-level deal, because you mentioned the bridge deal, but the whole lockout was done from a Winnipeg Jets perspective to benefit them in being able to retain a guy like a Bogosian who they drafted and bring up through their own system and not lose him so early to unrestricted free agency. So that was done, that was accomplished, and yet still no deal here.
Yeah, it's peculiar. I'm on the same page as you there. You know, you have a guy who wants to be here, who's proven to be a top four defenseman for sure. You know, whether he becomes that top two or top or number one defenseman, you know, I think it's still, jury's probably out. But the stars are aligned to really sign him. I mean, there's no question he's the best defensive defenseman on the team. There's no question this team absolutely needs him. They missed him last year when he was injured, and he wants to be here, and by all accounts, the team wants him here. So I would have to, you know, think that the disagreement here is more so on money, as you said, you know, maybe 4.5 from one side and maybe 6 from the other, as opposed to term, because why wouldn't the Jets want to lock him up to at least a 4 or 5 year deal?
The other curious case outside of the big three, as everybody's called them, Paul Postma agreeing last night to a 2 year deal, and good for him, is Zach Redmond, who burst on the scene last year, kind of not expected to have shone for a couple of games and then got injured. And I'm not quite sure what they base all of that on. I think the fans would, if they had control of the money, may pay Redmond a little more than maybe what general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff is willing to pay.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think with Redmond's case, you know, he had a really good season in the AHL, and he came onto the scene. He played with the Jets, and he was healthy scratch, actually. That's why he was injured in that practice, and he wasn't, you know, I thought he showed pretty well at the beginning, wasn't as good maybe a couple games in, but still moves around pretty well and seems to make the simple play well. You have to look, though, Rick, and as you mentioned, you know, if the Jets, if and when they're going to, Bogosian's going to get a contract by, you know, early August, whenever the arbitration ruling comes down, if it comes to that, that's 8 one-way contracts on the books. So you have to wonder then, is Redmond pushing for a one-way deal? And if that's the case, I mean, the Jets aren't going to have 9 one-way defensemen on the books. So that kind of brings you back to the Adam Partey situation. You know, kind of why was he brought in and why was he given a one-way deal? And are the Jets adamant about giving Redmond a two-way deal? And is he saying, well, you know, I played in the NHL last year and I deserve a one-way, and you gave, I believe, Paul Postma a one-way last year. So, yeah, that's a good point as well. And Postma also was a right-side defenseman, just as Redmond is. So you look at the right side, and you conceivably it's going to be Bogosian, Bufflin, and Trouba. That seems to be what it's probably what's going to end up being. And then on the left side, you have Enstrom, and you have Klitsam, and you have Stewart. So if Postma is your seven, and say Party's your eight, what is Redmond?
What is Redmond? What is Trouba as a wild card?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not so, I don't know how to, I can't read Trouba, to be quite honest. Right. I've only seen him on TV at the World Hockey Championship, so I reserve judging where I think this guy should be because I simply don't know. And so that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But you mentioned the one-way deals, and on the point, it does get a little bit muddy there.
I'm just a little bit perplexed by the Party one-way because, I mean, I'm surprised. I would be surprised if he was offered another one-way on the market. I mean, I just don't think he can skate at the NHL level to be a top six defenseman, really. So in that case, and if you have a guy like Redmond, maybe his health is a question, but they also have Kolda in there. So unless, Rick, and we've talked about this before on the show, unless there's some move that is expected once Bogosian signed, and I think all signs would point to Bufflin being the guy that would probably move if that was the case, then the numbers don't really match up.
Yeah, and I guess we wait and we'll see. But in the meantime, arbitration date set for next week, and those are dates that usually people don't like to go on, but hopefully we don't see them, but maybe we will.
It'll be interesting if we do, though.
Yes.
I believe there wasn't one last year.
That's right. Well, and for good reason, probably.
Yeah.
Richard, appreciate the time as always.
Rick, thanks for having me on.
Thank you. There's Richard Pollock of the Legal Curve Hockey Show. When we come back, Lauren Rubenstein of the Globe and Mail will join us. We'll touch on the Open Championship, which, of course, is well underway. Second round action over at Muirfield, a course that he is very familiar with. Back with more of the Rona Roundtable on the home of the Winnipeg Jets. This is TSN 1290.